This is GamesAtWork.biz with Michael Martin and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
This is episode 295, Car Speakers. Hello and welcome again to another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Michael Martin. I'm delighted to be with you on a sunny, powerful Friday afternoon where I have power, and I hope my friend Michael Rowe and co-host has power today too. Do you, Michael?
As far as I can tell, I do. And a matter of fact, I have so much power that I've got power blowers in the yard blowing leaves around. That hopefully will not show up on the audio. But if it does, maybe they'll finish before we do?
You never know. Just consider it ambient noise.
It's ambient white noise.
Ambient white noise, yes. You know,
so we've got an exciting show.
We do. We have all kinds of things to talk about. So we're going to jump straight to it because we're under time constraints as we normally are. So let's start with this first article, Michael, you found about Google experimenting with time and time constraints by letting you take a look at maps from Google that look at what your town looked like over the last 200 years.
Yeah, this was kind of cool. I would like to see what my current town looked like 200 years ago because I don't think it existed. Right? But basically, it's an open source project a guy developed to dynamically re-render the Street View map.
Right.
In 3D. Show you where buildings were, where they weren't. I couldn't tell how they might re-render the buildings. So, for example, in North Carolina, in Durham, it's been around for at least 100-odd years. Maybe a little bit longer. I think maybe 200.
Right.
Pretty close. You know, there are styles of buildings that I know that have been there since the 20s. Like the theater that I perform in, the Carolina Theater, was made in the 1920s. And it would be interesting to see if they redo the facade, right? Maybe pull in pictures, or if it's only 3D models that change and you know, go from modern skyscraper sidings to Corinthian columns or something.
Yeah, well, that'd be fun to see, and I'm playing with it right now for Chapel Hill, and I'm not actually getting all that much here from it, unfortunately.
They haven't changed in 200 years.
That is not the case at all, because the University of Never-Ending Construction,
aren't they all though?
Yeah, does an awful lot of stuff, but I guess perhaps this city doesn't have the historical pieces set up for it, whereas New York City does.
Yes, I've heard that. Don't they make hot sauce in New York City?
They shouldn't be.
Texas Pete.
Texas Pete is made in Winston-Salem, as it should
be. Oh, of course, because you know Texas Pete should be made in North Carolina.
Absolutely. If you're enjoying a nice plate of hot wings, you should be using Texas Pete from good old North Carolina.
And that is our sponsor's break for today. We expect the check later on.
Yeah, or I buy enough from them anyway, you know.
We should throw in the show notes the YouTube video of the hot sauce commercial that has the line New York City's, just so that people know what the heck we've been vamping on.
which is Pace salsa, for those of you who didn't know that right off the bat.
See, that's why I went to Texas Pete, because it made more sense.
Yes. Yes.
Now, is it Pace University that made the salsa? Is that how they got the name?
Oh, who knows? That was a long time ago, that commercial, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Matter of fact, it was probably the street structures in New York were probably different at the time that commercial came out.
So
just to tie that all together.
So growing up outside of New York City, One of the games I used to love to play was recognizing cars by their headlight and taillight configuration. And at the time, I was really, you know, as a kid, I was really pretty good at it. My mom and my dad were always pretty amazed at that. And one of my favorite cars was the Lincoln Continental.
And, oh, yes.
And this article kind of sort of caught my ear with the idea that what Lincoln is doing now from a future of car audio perspective, and there's always been all these innovations that have happened in car audio and where you put in more speakers and subwoofers and all the aftermarket kind of things you can do. Well, here, apparently, according to this Car and Driver article, what's gonna happen is using resonators within the car to make basically the entirety of the car a speaker.
Yes, and this is a Continental AG, the Tier 1 auto supplier, isn't it?
It's Continental.
Not the Lincoln Continental.
Ooh, good point.
Because I was like, they're going to do this for the Lincoln. And I was like, I didn't know that Continental provided components for the Lincoln, because that's Ford, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry to digress on the auto industry for a second.
No, thank you for making that correction. My head was, and I didn't realize.
No, it's a good transition. I love it. Yeah. It does kind of pull it together. It's interesting because I know when I bought my last new car, which was more than a decade ago, not quite two, but close. I always go for the premium sound, right? Because I like to hear the music. I like to feel the music. And this whole idea of using resonators in the vehicle itself to expand the audio field that you're driving in.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I always worry about, or at least I've been told I should worry about this, is, you know, when you got the tunes cranked up and you're going down the interstate or the Autobahn and you're just driving along, you're singing along, and you're just not paying attention to anything but the road and the music. It's probably pretty important that you hear the other stuff around you. but what happens with this is you get speaker surfaces of things that are not traditionally speakers. And it got me thinking when I saw this article about the Bluetooth speaker that I use when I'm at conferences and I'm doing demonstrations, because I like to get good sound. And if you're in a room that sits like 50, they don't give you a good sound system. So I have this device called a bass egg, or a bass egg, that is a induction speaker that you put on like a table, and it turns the entire table surface into the speaker.
Wow.
And so you get big ambient sound for like doing video demos or other code demos. So I immediately went there, and with this article from Car and Driver, and I thought it was really, really cool. I can imagine that they've greatly improved the sound of the device that I have, because mine's 5+ years old and it can be a little muddy at times. But if they're putting it in the 2021 Cadillac Escalade Platinum Edition, I would think the sound's going to be pretty gosh darn good.
You would think so, but weren't you commenting before that your base egg there wasn't doing all that much for you?
Well, it does well if you have a good, flat, somewhat flexible surface. The best thing you could do is if you had like a 4-foot cube plastic container, like hard plastic.
Uh-huh.
Because then that turns into this huge, massive resonant speaker. If you put it on like a cement floor, not so much. It really depends on the material and the size of the object that you're sitting it on, because it causes that entire thing to flex.
Sure. And vibrate. And
And that becomes the audio environment. So. Very, very cool. And that's what they're doing. They're placing, Continental's placing these sensors, right, onto different components in the vehicle in order to drive that sound. So they talk about using the rear shelf and the headliner, because they're big flat surfaces for the bass.
Right.
But you want small narrow things for your treble, right?
Oh, very interesting. And now that I'm playing with this a little bit more, I'm kind of seeing, of course, it's Continental, the automotive company, the also famous for Continental tires and the like, too. Yes. And they've partnered up with Sennheiser, who knows a thing or two about sound as well.
Yeah. I Continental has done some really cool things, and they actually have different major divisions. They're one of the largest, I think they're one of the top three, what are called tier one suppliers mm-hmm. for all the OEMs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I remember looking at their booth at CES a couple of years ago and some of the really, really cool things that they were showing then. So this would have been a great CES announcement. I can just imagine the demo booth, right? Well, that you get in and it's like,
you could just do some shaking there. So speaking of CES devices, I'll wager this might be one that you experienced or picked up at CES back in the day when people actually went places. Got sick when they went places and came home and got better
every time.
So The Verge has this article on the 3D Doodler Pro pen.
Yes,
and you have one of them, right?
This was originally a Kickstarter, and I supported the Kickstarter for the original 3D Oodler.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I think, let me.
It's not the 3D accurate. Oodler?
My wife got me this Kickstarter. Mm. So I have the original 3D Oodler, and not the Pro Plus, but the original one. And the basic idea is you have these filament straws that you stick in the back of a very large pin-shaped device, and you have a forward and backward extrusion button mm-hmm. on it, and it heats the filament, which makes it soft, and then you can draw in 3D space and extrude basically the same type of filament that you would in a 3D printer to draw things in 3D space.
Yeah.
And it sounds great. The version I had a lot of issues with how well it pulled the extrusion material through. It jammed a lot. But the basic idea was fantastic, and they've solved a lot of these problems with the Pro and the Pro Plus. You have to have a very steady, slow hand, because this is hot melting plastic coming out of the end of an extrusion device. And if you're drawing upwards in 3D space, it needs to cool to harden as you're drawing upwards, right?
Gravity still applies, as I understand it.
Gravity still applies. Yeah. So. So if you're like me, somebody who has since the earliest time in my life, my hands are constantly moving. I do not have a very slow, steady hand. But I have used it to basically draw 3D dragons and things of that nature that I can then use and place on things. But you can also take a three-dimensional device object like a ball and paint around it and use that to help shape it. So it's a really cool idea. And what they've done is they've redesigned it again slightly, upgraded it. They've added some new capabilities to make it a lot easier to drive, you know, how granular the filament comes out. And I like it. This is a really, really good idea.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing, and the article does talk about the Pro element, trying to move it out of the more of the entertainment sort of space, and your use cases for it were creating art and that sort of thing too. Do you see where something like this takes the Pro version could take it to the next level, or that it can be used for much more than?
I think. Well, I've seen demos of people actually building an entire car. The 3D Oodler team actually drew a full-size car in three dimensions.
Wow.
Now, the number of little sticks of filament you're sticking in there was a lot.
Right? More than the price of a car, perhaps?
Probably. But I think their biggest challenge is not the device itself. It's the materials and the filament.
Yes.
That would take you to how do you create a production-ready object out of it, right? Something that allows you to use it in more than an artistic way. Even the basic PLA filament and ABS filament that you might use on a 3D printer,
right,
is only going to take you so far before you want to go into 3D printing with metal or with glass or something that's much stronger and much more precise that you could then put in a physical object that you're going to use for production.
Yeah, yeah, and that's sort of where my head was at too, is that extrusion devices that are robotic controlled would eliminate that shaking of the hand sort of situation to create and 3D print the environment that you want.
Yeah, and then you might as well just use a 3D printer.
And right, exactly, and that would be your best bet. So
think of it as a great way of sketching out something really quick in 3D. Which is still important in a production environment. You might be in a design studio.
Well, that's where I would imagine that an augmented reality, for lack of a better word, wand could be your best bet. So that you're
like a mixed reality with a headset. Yeah, and a wand. Well, and
you're if you imagine how you take a time-lapse photography with a sparkler, right? You could draw the thing that you're looking to draw in an augmented reality that's captured by your device, and then it could be extruded, if you will, 3D printed by something else. And so that allows you to do that rapid prototyping in a way that might otherwise be difficult. Well, so it's talking about robots, and let's move on to that for a second here too. You found the Flipper song is kind of springing to mind from the TV show. But White Castle's been using a robot that they've been calling Flippy for a while, and there's more robotics coming in from an aptly named company, this one called Miso, to install additional robots.
And I think we actually talked about the Flippy robot a couple of years ago when they first started rolling these out. And it was kind of interesting to see they're scaling up in times of COVID, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, you got to get your greasy, thin slab of meat on a dinner roll. that White Castle, or if you're in the South, Crystal. Burgers are, which I, you know, just in full disclaimer, I can't stand these types of burgers. they have a hint of meat, and everything else is even worse for you. But I do find it interesting. It's a very specific use case, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with burgers on a grill or a griddle is really simple.
Yep,
it's you can time them.
You sense them.
It's not like you're the sensors are pretty easy. You flip the burgers, you put them on a flat surface called a bun. But it was interesting to see kind of the growth of these, especially if you think about a health and safety perspective of the workers. I worry that this will be so successful, then you won't need the workers.
That could be.
But maybe then they'll focus on customer service.
Exactly. And that's a good sign, right?
Yeah.
That's a good sign. And I think that augmentation is really the big plus point here. So nice. Like it.
Cool.
Yes. All right. So while it's not an Apple show, let's talk about Apple, shall we?
Let's talk about Apple.
I hadn't thought about clips from Apple as
in a long time.
In a long time. But I can see where it's like, oh, it's been there for a while. It's been available for a while. And it could be a little bit like a TikTok-esque way of sharing some information with peoples.
Yeah, well, I thought it was really interesting that they put out a new version earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday. That would be earlier this week. Matter of fact, I even tested out and sent you a clip.
Yeah.
And
now it makes sense really why you did that. It's like, Okay. Because I thought you're just like doing the Memoji, you know, thing from within iMessage. And it's like, okay, that's cool, I guess. So,
but it was very different. But it was, you didn't see the flames and the little text above my head.
It was the clippy clip.
Yeah, so they've done some upgrades to allow you to do stickers and other things and Memojis, do these little video clips as a way of showcasing clips in Memoji. And I'm sure on the next, you know, on the iPhone 12s, the improved AR capabilities, because face matching and motion, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So they've done a lot of major updates to it. And to be honest with you, I installed it in 2017 when it came out.
Yeah, I did too.
And I had totally forgotten about this app.
It came through as an update too, and I didn't bother looking at it. It's like, yeah, okay, update. Now this is an more interesting thing, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Very cool. I like it.
While we're not doing a promo for this, Apple One subscriptions are supposed to start today.
Today, yes.
So here's the question, Michael, for you, because I know you're a consumer of several of the services that are now bundleable in Apple One.
Yes.
Are you now a customer of Apple One?
I couldn't see where to turn it on, but the answer will be yes.
So I don't remember, Michael, if we talked about this in a prior episode or not, but there's a thing here where I could see where Apple One could actually be a cost savings to a family.
It is.
And
I can tell you that right now, for me, it would be immediately.
Right. So if you were to say, like, okay, at the top tier, which is for the United States, $30 a month, if you say, all right, well, you are looking at music, you are looking at iCloud services, you have purchased news or whatever, you're rapidly in a spot where you could say, okay, I could now save by turning off some features of some people in the family and just having one for everybody and save money. And wouldn't it be cool, hint, hint, for Apple to say, hey, I know that within your family, you could just do this and you would save this amount of money. So why not do that?
Yeah. And I actually, when they announced this, I actually did a calculation, and currently the services I use, mm-hmm, run me, I think, $29.97. Okay.
Ha. Huh. So you would save 2 cents?
I would save 2 cents and gain multiple services.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's actually super cool.
Yeah, the biggest thing that I do is I do the 2 terabyte a month,
mm-hmm,
iCloud drive, because I use it to back up my parents' and mother-in-law's machines,
mm-hmm,
plus my own. And so between that immediately throws me up pretty high with things like TV, arcade, news, right?
Yep.
Because I've never been a music subscriber.
Ah, but see, this will make it sticky and help you move in that direction, wouldn't it?
Yes. And I'm really excited and looking forward to the Fitness Plus feature.
So I'm eager on that too, and I have some ideas about where we could go with that, but looking at the time and how little we've got left, there's three things that we want to hit on the way out the door. One, two, three. So the first one is an intriguing point from Minecraft and Microsoft, which of course owns Minecraft these days, which in 2021 you'll need, much like the Facebook and the
Oculus,
you'll need to have a Microsoft account to play Minecraft. So, yeah.
Which I understand. I mean, they're looking at it from a security perspective, and that's kind of how they pitch it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's to use their servers.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, if you have your own standalone Minecraft server, I don't think it's required, but I'm not sure, and I don't, so.
Well, it'll be something I need to check into, because there are Minecraft players in my family that probably care and want to do this. The second of the three to touch on is Lego around Unity, and being yes. able to build your own micro games with Lego, which to me is like, oh, this is pretty cool. And we're still, you know, this is where Minecraft kind of emerged from to begin with, right?
Yep.
So
that one makes sense.
Very exciting about that.
And finally,
this one for longtime listeners,
the Star Wars holiday special.
It combines Lego and Star Wars together, and a holiday special that hopefully will be one that we want to see.
Yes, as opposed because to the last this one is. This one is not the original one, just done in Legos, which I think would be awesome. I would watch that.
Yeah, well, I would be loving to watch it too, but I'm a little worried about, does Han take out his blaster first? That's, you know, we'll have to see what happens in that particular holiday special.
I just want to know how many of the really, 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 really bad, cheesy jokes that they did in the original one they would do in the new one.
Oh, I would guess all of them.
I don't think they're going to use the same script. I hope.
I hope not too. But we'll see. We'll see. Stay tuned. You'll check it out.
And if they do, we'll talk about it here at Games at Work.
Biz. We'll see you next time. Biz. Cheers. Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.